presenting Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves.
PX4 calling control tower. PX4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to PX4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1,200 fans. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's Ace of the Airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode of the adventures of Hop Harrigan. Say, gang, we have a real surprise for you today. Yes, sir. Here in the studio with us is one of the men who pilots those giant DC-6s from coast to coast. Maybe his plane has flown over your house on one of his trips. Well, during this month, he's carrying a very special cargo. I'm going to let him tell you all about it. Gang, I'd like you to meet United Airlines Captain Charles Blades.
Hello, fellows and girls. You're right, Glenn. I do pilot the United Airlines DC-6. And during this month, I'd like to suggest that you keep a weather eye out for the United Airlines Red Feather planes.
Captain Blades, I've spoken to the fellows and girls about all types of aircraft, but I must admit I never heard of one being made out of a red feather.
Well, Glenn, I can certainly vouch for the fact that United planes aren't made out of red feathers. The red feather I'm talking about is the one that the famous radio song Christmas Jenny Sims painted on the fuselage of a DC-6. After she gave that plane a send-off, numerous other United planes were also painted with a red feather symbol.
Well, now, about this red feather symbol, Captain, as I understand it, the red feather stands for the Health, Welfare, and Recreational Services of the Community Chest.
That's right, Glenn. And in a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you all about the current drive of the Community Chest.
And we'll be waiting for you. You heard that, gang. Captain Blades of United Airlines will be back a little later on in the program. And he has a great story to tell. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Like an evil shadow, trouble has dogged Hop and Tank's footsteps since their arrival on location to begin work in a new movie. Trouble that reaches a climax on the evening of their first day at work. As we recall, Hop, Tank, and Dixie Davenport, the star of the picture, were walking over to the camp mess shack when suddenly they heard a plane engine being revved. It was Dixie's plane, a reconverted Army C-47 which she used to transport her Wonder Horse to Foya. And before they could investigate, the twin engine plane roared down the temporary airstrip and zoomed into the night sky.
Hop, the boy is in the plane. I put him in his stall a half hour ago.
Great God. Then somebody stole him.
Oh, no.
Take it easy. Don't jump to conclusions.
Well, how else can you figure it?
Hop, you must go after him. He's got a plane, please.
No, you couldn't catch him. Dixie, you said Joe... That's your pilot's name, isn't it?
Joe Bell.
He said he was testing the engines to be sure the ship was ready for tomorrow's shooting.
That's what he told me.
Well, then maybe he's just taking her up on a flight test.
No, he would have said something.
Then why would he take the horse up with him? Maybe he didn't. Let's have a look. There's a small corral over there, isn't it, Dixie?
Yes, where I exercise the corral.
I don't need flashlights. It's awful dark over there.
They're in our tents. Get them, will you, Tank?
I'm sure. Let's hit the corral.
The plane's out of sight now, Hop.
Of course. He'd take her out on a wide sweep.
I'm so worried.
Look, Dixie, what do you know about your pilot?
Well, he's a pilot, that dog.
Has he been working for you long?
Over a year.
Ever had any trouble with him?
No, never.
Well, does he take care of Sequoia, too?
Yes, very well. He has a fine way with him.
That doesn't sound like he'd have any reason.
Hop, the corral's empty. Sequoia isn't there. Oh, Hop, what are we going to do?
Hop.
Over here, Tank. Hurry up.
Thomas.
The plane was usually parked near the corral, wasn't it, Dixie?
Yes.
Oh, here. Why
anything, Hop?
Sequoia isn't here. Give me a flash, please. Here. Come on now. We'll take a walk around.
Oh, Hop, what do we do?
Try to get hold of yourself, Dixie. Panic won't help a bit.
Hey, Hop.
Yeah.
Here's where the plane was parked. Here are the wheel chocks, and the sand is streaked with oil from the engine.
Uh-huh. Hey, look at those chocks.
Huh? What about?
They have buried in the sand. Looks like the pilot jumped the plane right over them.
For Pete's sake, why should he?
I was in a hurry, obviously.
Hop isn't getting us anywhere, and Sequoia's getting farther and farther away.
Well, I'm afraid we can't do anything about that, Dixie. Come on, Tank. Keep looking.
Okay, but I wish I knew what for.
Honestly, Hop, if you don't stop wasting time looking for clues...
Lucy, why don't you go back to camp?
Go back!
And get hold of Ivanov and tell him what's happened. Tell him to call the police again and alert every airport and radio range station for 500 miles around.
Now you're cooking.
But I don't see how that'll help us find Sequoia.
Dixie, you can't hide a plane as big as a C-47. Find the plane and we'll find the horse. Now, go on. Be a good girl.
Oh, all right.
We'll be with you in a few minutes as soon as we're finished here.
All right, Hop, but please hurry.
Boy, she's really bothered, ain't she?
Can't blame her.
Hey, Hop.
Yeah?
What do you expect to find?
Something, anything, I don't know.
Let's see, the ramp leading up into the fuselage is placed here.
Hey, Hop, look.
What? There. A dame's mixed up in it.
What are you talking about?
I'll bet my bottom dollar on it. Get a load of this footprint. And that one.
Long pointed toe, small spiked heel.
If that ain't a dame shoe, I'll eat it. I'm not a bad detective. I do say so myself.
No, thanks. The prints are too big. They're at least size 12.
What? Only dames wear high heels.
Dames and cowboys.
Cowboys?
Yes.
Man, look here. I'm going to bury my sand.
What is it?
A rowel.
A which?
A rowel. It's like a little wheel to me.
Yeah, it is. It's part of the spur.
You mean them little doohickeys cowboys wear on the heels of their boots to make the horses giddy up?
Check. Miss Interest. The footprints were made by a cowhand.
What are you getting so head up for? Joe Bell, Dixie's pilot.
Since when do you use spurs to pilot a plane?
Come on, Tank, back to camp. We'll see how Dixie and Yvonne.
Breaking into a run, Hop heads for the location camp with Tank lumbering heavily along behind him. Reaching the director's quarters, they are about to enter when they are stopped by Ivanov's ever-present assistant, Mr. Peabody.
Here, you can't disturb Mr. Ivanov. He's very busy.
I'm sorry, we've got to see him.
Well, that will be impossible. No one sees Mr. Ivanov without being summoned, and I know he didn't call you.
Well, that's just too bad. We're going in.
Over my dead body, you are.
Okay, then, over your dead body.
Oh, dear.
What is all this noise I'm hearing?
Oh, take it easy.
Oh, that awful voice of Mr. Finkel.
Hey, listen, you.
Thanks. Mr. Ivanov, this is important.
Mr. Harrigan, what is important except Ivanov's pieces of mind?
Isn't Dixie, Miss Davenport here?
She is. We discussed matters of great importance.
Pop, is that you?
Yes.
Have you found anything?
Yes.
Oh, good. Come on in.
Oh, come in. Why, for you stand out there.
Is he nuts? Come on.
Mr. Peabody?
Yes, sir.
My room is to be in Violet for the rest of the evening. I will see no one. No one.
Yes, sir. Of course.
Now. What is going on?
I didn't you tell him, Dixie?
Yes, but he won't listen to me.
Horses, aeroplanes, such foolishness. Who would steal a horse? Nobody would dare to do such a thing to Ivanov, except maybe a horse thief.
Listen, Mr. Ivanov, were you planning to use Dixie's transport tomorrow when you shoot?
No, I do not need the transport. Why do you ask?
Joe Bell said you told him to get the plane ready.
I told him nothing. Someone is putting words in my mouth.
Oh, I'm making them up himself. Then Joe did fight the quake.
Oh, no.
Dixie, does Joe wear cowboy boots with spurs?
He wears boots, I think, but the flying boots, they don't have any spurs on them.
Uh-oh.
Why do you ask?
They found this on the sand.
Yes, what is this?
A rowel.
A rowel?
No, there's rowels in their spurs anymore. It's cruel to the horse. Those sharp points cut into their flesh.
Someone around here still uses them.
So who?
I hope Dixie could tell me.
Oh.
You know who?
I think so. There's only one man who wears that kind of spurs. Tex Regan.
The low-down horse breeder.
Mr. Regan? Impossible.
Why?
Ivanov told him to leave this camp, did I not? No one dares to disobey an order from Ivanov.
I've got news for you, pal. Regan did.
Oh, Hop, this is terrible.
Have you called the police?
Not yet. Ivan wouldn't.
Who says I called him this minute?
No, wait.
Huh?
Let's figure this thing out if we can. Why did Regan take the quiet? He's very valuable, isn't he, Dixie?
He's insured for $250,000.
You forget he's a horse.
And you'd pay plenty to get him back unharmed, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, anything.
Yeah, I think that's what Regan's driving at.
Ah, hold your talk. I told you for you.
No, please, Mr. Ivanov. If this gets into the newspapers before Regan has a chance to contact us and negotiate for a ransom, he might get scared and burn the plane and, well, get rid of Sequoia.
Oh, Hop, we've got to do something.
60 million of people have seen Sequoia in the movies. Everybody would recognize him. Regan can't hold on to him forever.
Of course, exactly.
Huh?
I am glad you see it my way, Mr. Harrigan.
But Hart figured it, not you.
Well, I can't.
So, what do we do?
Wait. Stay here and wait for Regan to make the first move.
There is an air of finality in Hart's voice. Now, Dixie at last realizes the helplessness of their situation. Suddenly, she bursts out sobbing and hides her face in her hands. The great Ivanov tries to comfort his star, but in vain. Will Tex Regan contact him? We'll know more in just a moment, gang, so stand by. Fellas and girls, our special guest today is Captain Charles Blades of United Airlines. Earlier, Captain Blades told us about United Airlines Red Feather planes. Well, now, Captain, will you tell us about some of the work the Community Chest is doing?
I'll be glad to, Glenn. The Red Feather stands for the Community Chest in your town. Community Chest helps to support groups such as the Boy and Girl Scouts and the YMCA. So every time you go to one of them to play or swim, remember, it's the Community Chest which helps make it possible. I have a boy and girl of my own, and they're mighty glad we have a Community Chest in our town. But, fellows and girls, the Community Chest has to have money to support the Red Feather services in your town. So with one pilot to another, how about telling your folks to get behind community chest to support the Red Feather services.
Well, Captain Blades, I'd like to interject a thought here. You know, fellows and girls, the community chest needs $180 million to carry on its worthwhile and necessary job for 1948. That means everybody is expected to give whatever he can now.
That's right, Glenn. Everybody benefits when everybody gives. I'll be flying my big mainline, a DC-6 Red Feather plane, all over the country to make sure that folks remember. But if you boys and girls will fly all over town and tell everybody how much good Red Feather services do for them, you'll be helping yourself and your neighbor. Tell them to give to the community chest today. Well, it was swell talking to you fellows and girls, and if you wave to the Red Feather plane, I'll be waving right back. So long.
So long, Captain Blades, and wherever you may fly in your United Airlines Red Feather plane, happy landings. And fellas and girls, remember, give to the community chest. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Evening has worn into deep night. Night into dawn. Pop, Tank, Dixie Davenport, and Ivan Ivanov have kept a long vigil, waiting for word of Sequoia. Now, as the first rays of the morning sun tint the eastern hills with gold, Tank lumbers wearily to the door.
Oh, brother, I need some air.
What time is it?
Little after six, Mr. Ivanov.
Geek, there is work to be done.
Oh, Ivan, how can you think of work now?
But the teacher, my teacher, darling. The teacher cannot stop.
Yes, it can. You certainly don't expect me to ask when Sequoia has been kidnapped.
Geek, if you are an artist, and the show must go.
No, it mustn't. Oh, Hop, you said we'd hear from Tex Regan, and we haven't. Sequoia's been gone almost 12 hours.
Be patient, Dick.
I can't. This is driving me mad.
Mr. Harrigan says, right, Dixie, we must wait, darling. Remember what they say? No news is better than none.
Hey, there's a horse coming this way.
Maybe it's Sequoia.
Where, Tex? Where? There. Something's the matter with the rider. It's flipped over.
Is it Sequoia? Is it?
No, Dixie. Come on, Tex. We've got to stop him and help the rider.
Right, will you? Hurry up. Again. Mr. Tinker, Mr. Harrigan, be careful. I need you in the picture today. Whoa, you nag.
Whoa,
yeah,
boy. Hold
him. Why, help. It's Joe. Joe Bell. Joe Bell, my pilot. Captain, he's falling off.
Yeah, I got him. He's out cold.
Hey, somebody better haul that horse. Grab Mr. Ivanov.
Me? I look like a horseman, love, for you?
Please, Ivan, he'll run wild and hurt someone.
All right, darling, all right. I'm going to tell you.
I think he's just plain exhausted. Can't see anything wrong with it.
But how did he get here, and where's the coin?
Hey, what's this sticking out of his pocket?
Well, it's an envelope. Addressed to you, Dixie.
Oh.
Here, read it.
I'm afraid, Hop.
Let me have it. What's it say? If you want to see your horse again, alive, you'll follow orders that will come later. If you don't, I'll drop him right in your lap from 10,000 feet up.
Hop finishes reading and crumples the paper in his hand until his knuckles show white. So their worst fears have been realized. Sequoia has been kidnapped. Gang, there's a lot of suspense and excitement ahead, so be sure to listen to the next episode.
Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.